Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 238th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on October 23rd, 2023. We got you a Monday pod. On the pod today, we have Andrew Clark, Ryan Holt, and me, Lucas DeRuyter. This one is almost certainly going to be titled The One Where Lucas Gets Laid Off, because Lucas got laid off.
The gang gets laid off.
You make it seem like it happens in the course of this podcast, though, with that tensing that you're using. The one where Lucas gets laid off mid-podcast and we all deal with the immediate aftermath.
I mean, listen, often with sudden change of life stuff, I'm being a little generous saying this was traumatic, but it feels like it happened. I mean, yeah, sure, it happened a week ago, but also it has been happening all the time since then.
Every waking moment it's been happening to me.
Yeah. Getting laid off is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like there is, I've had to do a lot. Had to review severance stuff, had to figure out some money stuff, organize that a little bit. Schedule medical appointments. I'm on insurance for like, I forget if it's exactly a month or through the month. After my termination,
that's a big difference.
Those are two different things.
Getting them in regardless. I guess Fandom's gonna cover like Cobra premiums for a couple months after that. But the only thing I know about Cobra is that it sucks and is weird and scary.
Yeah, it is. It is like a last ditch. Get this so that like if you get into a car accident, you don't like actually go break up and have to flee the country.
Right. Yeah, so then getting, and even if like they still cover the lion's share of those of that money, to get like the necessary stuff, to get like a new round of contacts, or I haven't seen a general practitioner in like 4 years, to get that all knocked out before there's a new intermediary to take care of, right. That seems advisable.
And with Cobra, like, I mean, the scariest thing, of course, is like, you know, they've got all these problems, but like, man, their leader has a really weird voice, right? Like you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
No one Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander. No one wants to deal with that guy when you're trying to file a medical claim.
Yeah. GI Joe stands for Gastroenterologist Joe.
Yeah. He'll fix you up with a nice little colonoscopy.
Listen,
and then
I got
Cobra Commander will pay for it.
I got nothing better to do now than write Robot Chicken that exact sketch. So yeah, might as well. Iconic look though, Cobra Commander, like weird voice, lauded, not appreciated by most of the public, but his decision, like, hey, actually the scariest mask I can wear is just a reflective one. Powerful.
It's like when Time Magazine had us as the Time Person
you
of the Year.
You're the Person of the Year.
You're the real bad guy. You're the thing that you're most scared of. It's yourself.
Has Cobra Commander always had the, like, reflective mask? I thought I remember at one point he was just wearing, like, a purple hood. Oh, yeah, sometimes he is just wearing, like, a stupid-ass, like, towel on his head. That sounded more
Andrew.
Racist than I intended. I mean, like,
pause.
He's wearing a bag.
Like, oh, like a clan thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, a hood.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, it's not even, like, a hood that's attached to his shirt. It is just, like, free-floating.
Me and Angel, that just for some reason reminds me that me and Angel started watching Watchmen, the HBO show, recently. And can I just say that, like, if I had a nickel every time Don Johnson portrayed a secret Ku Klux Klan member, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right? Like, why is he typecast as a secret Klan guy?
Who's Don Johnson?
From Miami Vice, Andrew.
Oh, shit. Well, okay, first off, Ryan, that was before my time.
Me too, but like, iconic.
I know what, like, Magnum, I know who Tom Selleck is because he's maintained his career in the mainstream since then.
Don Johnson, Django Unchained, he's been in stuff, like, he's been around. You love Django Unchained, or at least you used to in college.
This is Big Daddy?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a secret clan guy.
I can't see shit out of this thing.
Django, and he looks older in Django Unchained than he does in real life now.
I think they wanted him to be like, yeah, a stereotypical Southern plantation owner. Which, he's like, been around.
Hmm. I guess the lens of the public, Southern plantation owners are always just like old, like indiscriminately old white men, indefinably old.
They're almost, I think it's a little bit of like a softening of it, right? Like they're harmless white men. Like you shouldn't, like, yeah, they did bad things, but like they're not.
Look at them. They're just a guy. They're a grandpa.
They're not like a 40-year-old, terrifying, like abusive physically and mentally boss. They're like a kindly Southern gentleman who just wants to serve you lemonade and wet cake. Like, and
he's just looking out for the community.
Yeah. Like, I think that's why the stereotypical betrayal went that way at the end of the day. Was right. Like, to kind of soften it. And then, yeah, in stuff like Django Unchained, that became reflexive and like a condemnation of that type of betrayal. They had to, like, kind of turn it on its head while still acknowledging that type of betrayal. Like, yeah, fucking, what's it called? Jesus Christ, Gone with the Wind. The plantation owner has to be kindly because, like, yeah.
Otherwise... But
also in reality, like, the big time plantation owners who really did own, like, whole counties, essentially. Yeah, they're probably, like, generally to other white people, pretty nice people. Like, in the same way that rich people are generally pretty nice today. Because, like, what the fuck do they have to be angry about? Like, life is fucking perfect for them. Like,
hey, listen, man, we're winning fascism. Like, you're in the us group. You're good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, they're, like, kindly to other people in their general, like, social class and sphere.
Right.
Like,
because why wouldn't they be? Like, whenever anyone's like, oh, man, I met this guy, you know, he was really nice. And it's like, he better fucking be. That's like bare minimum shit when you've got no conflict in your life. Like
that it's also goes back to, like, I think when people think of, you know, the guys that have committed terrible atrocities throughout history, they think of a Bond villain who's always talking about how he's out to destroy humanity. And I think it's important to realize that, like, there can be truly evil people that will do the most heinous things that you can imagine. Yeah. And they're otherwise pretty normal guys.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where ACAB comes from.
It's just not, like, easy to identify them.
Yeah. ACAB, whenever, like, you know, white people are like, well, I have a cop friend and boy, is he just the swellest guy. And it's just like, we're not saying that he's like an asshole in his everyday life and is constantly like, granted, there's plenty of cops like that.
But yeah,
like,
those are not common.
Not all cops are like just raging alcoholic pieces of shit that are beating their wives and shooting innocent people. But like the concept goes beyond that. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. You can be a bad person while still being nice and polite and even friendly and nice to be around. Like,
and I mean, there's the Bill Burr bit about, like, what people think racists are like, and like the yelling at the people to, like, get out of the pool because they're black. And
they were,
like,
the first all black swim team.
Yeah.
Get out of the pool.
And, like, and yeah, those people do exist, but most racists aren't, like, so obvious.
Yeah. They know that they're racist.
Yeah.
And they use that to.
And they go, sure, I think that everyone should be equal. Of course, we all think that. But let me pull up some crime statistics that I got off of 4chan.
We're talking about someone in particular now.
When racial oppression has been codified into the various systems that make up society, pushing it even further, anyone defending that norm, anyone arguing for a maintaining of the status quo, like, that is racism. You are doing racism to keep things exactly as they are.
Yeah,
which is to say disadvantageous to minority groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they think that, like, them, you know, gaining some level of parity would mean that they lose power, which is the worst possible outcome for them.
And I mean, like you said, this is one step further. Like, we can't even meet people on the, like, you can be racist while still like not being like vain poppingly shouting racist slurs, racist. Like, people won't even meet you at that level. It's just like, I'm not racist. I would never say the N-word. It's like, wait, that bar is way too low.
Yeah. Also, I know people that do use the N-word regularly and say that they are, still aren't racist.
Right, of course.
There was no good segue off of racism back to me.
Yeah, Lucas, how's your experience been?
No, just talking about like those codifying systems. Yeah, no, I was truly caught off guard by my termination at fandom. One, because like I've been given every indication pretty much the entirety of my employment. Hey, man, you're killing it. Doing a great job. But no, this
personal
happened.
Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, not to disparage any companies, but no, I'll say just in corporations in general, like this decision was made by people four levels above your superior, right, who was then, yeah, just like looking at spreadsheets. Have you ever seen, there's like someone made a sketch of like a new software for layoffs, and it's just like you just drag the slider and it like gives you all the names of people that you can fire, and it's just like, all right, yeah, so this is the new feature. You just drag the slider for where you want our stock price to go to. You drag the slider too far, and you know, you open yourself to more liability to lawsuits for wrongful termination or for like prejudice and everything like that. So yeah, you'll see percentages on likelihood that you do that as you drag the slider farther and farther. But then we also have this mitigating slider where, like, if you don't lay off these, like, 20 individuals, now your chances go from, like, you know, 40% chance of lawsuit to 15% chance of, you know, like, just, like, they're just playing games. Yeah, like, it's not, it has nothing to do with anyone's performance for the most part. Obviously, there's stragglers that it's like, boy, we've been waiting on this day. Like, this person, obvious target. Like, they are the first name to go. But, like, after that, there has to be further
points
cuts
on a board.
Like, exactly.
It's like they repurposed that software from, here's how you optimized your barbarian in Baldur's Gate.
Exactly.
Like, take it out to account. Yeah. But then to speak more to like I'm also caught off guard because I feel like this is motivated by like capitalistic decisions that have never made any sense to me. And we're seeing like increasingly common, like across industry broadly, but especially on any like user generated content platform. Like from what I'm seeing, so we all agree, like for a platform like Twitch, I think that's a fair comparison. You need people who are like community managers to like make sure everything's chill. Like that's the cost of having them on staff is like baked into the, okay, so we got thousands of people making us money for free, millions of people even making us money for free. We just need a couple of people on staff to make, like, sure they're chill all the time.
And yeah, but, like, I think you're looking at it a little bit too hard because, you know, you have organizations like Twitter that will fire their entire, like, PR team.
Right.
And, you know, other large corporations that will get rid of entire departments that are essential. It is not about, like, eliminating the fat. It is just getting revenue to a certain level and bringing salaries down to a certain point.
But
right,
we all
but
know
talk
that's
about
not,
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, but talk about essential, like look at Twitter. Like they exist. You know, like yeah, there's glitches and problems and like they're doing weird shit over there. But like obviously Twitter is the most extreme example of laying off swaths of quite literally essential employees. Mm-hmm. And they're facing like consequences, but not like devastating, like the whole site refuses to function-esque consequences. Like that's capitalism, you know? Like there
the
is
product
a lot
will
of redundancy.
Suffer,
yeah.
And they're gonna live with that. Like
exactly. It'll be like, fine. Like
fandom will be worse off without you, but like they're cool with being worse off.
Right.
Like that's the long and short of it.
Right, but we know Twitter is fine for now, but Elon Musk has also only had the keys for a year. We don't know And with how rapidly it's like gotten, with how rapidly in-shitification has occurred, like it's, I don't know, does it have another year in it? Does it have another five? Yeah. Like,
if it can like maintain how it's doing right now. Yeah. The quality of the product and the user face has dropped off dramatically, but like if they hold where they are here, there's no reason to believe that it'll continue to dwindle down to zero. It will.
I know you love
off.
Blue Sky, but like it's still not catching on. Like Blue Sky, Threads, Mastodon, like all that shit is not the main place you go to get that type, like the Twitter experience right now. I know that it's cool and it's indie and like, you know, there's a lot more cool people to like bad people ratio on something like Blue Sky, but like, yeah, Twitter's still a customizable experience where you could just block out all the Nazis. And like, it's not ideal, and you'd much rather the Nazis aren't there at all.
Except now they can pay to not be blocked.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them every day. Yeah. You know, like, I do. Literally block them. I just curate my timeline pretty carefully, and it all is pretty much a normal Twitter experience.
I have curated my Twitter experience to be entirely the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the NFL and fantasy football. That's all I see on there now. Because the memers are gone. Like they're on other platforms now. They're on TikTok and YouTube and I don't know, maybe Threads, like maybe Facebook. I doubt it. I think they probably just went away. I guess I see some news. Lately, I've been seeing a lot of atrocities and images I'll never be able to unsee. And then, you know, the rest of it is shit I never wanted to see at all. And I'm being forced to see, like, just racism and conspiracy theories and giants are real. And Joe Biden is a brain chip. He's not even a human being. He's a brain chip that you're imagining.
No, I and again, like I said, they're facing a lot of consequences, but like Twitter is the most extreme example of this. And it's still like limping along. Like now every other corporation falls short of what Twitter did.
Right.
So like they're going to be like 85% strength of like where they were, and their stock price. I don't know if you've been following, like generally that goes up when you lay people off, which is completely paradoxical. Like that should never make it. It seems like you're struggling as a company if your stock price or if you're laying people off. Like it seems like people should be scared and sell when that happens. But no, as a general rule of thumb, it goes up. It's like, oh shit, they're making the tough cuts and now they're going to be profitable. They're getting rid of the dead wood. Like it's a weird thing, but also real. That's why it was originally invented. Like the General Electric CEO, Jack Welch, like whole Behind the Bastards series on that guy that you can listen to. Yeah, basically invented the like cutthroat layoff that will add value to the company for some reason.
Look how much we're saving in salary. Look how much we're saving in necessary expenses.
So they can cut necessary expenses and survive. That means that they're golden.
Yeah. In my industry, with this writer strike and everything like that, we had companies bragging about how much they were saving on content expenditures. It's like, oh, wait, you mean
the reason model, you exist?
Yeah, your business model was incapable of functioning, and that's good. People should invest. So I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense, but yeah, it works. It's capitalism.
Yeah. It's weird. And who out there is like, oh, we got to be more like Twitter right now? That's a crazy thought for any human being to have. Also, it's weird to suddenly elude. Like my termination was the kind that's like, hey, you're going into a meeting, and before that meeting is over, you're no longer employed.
Right.
Which has been weird to like follow up with people and maintain like industry contacts and even talk to like necessary people in HR about my leaving.
Right.
Like, I don't have that email, you know? Like, I don't even have like the company index of emails anymore. Yeah. So like, I literally got the line like, hey, you know what? As this process unfolds, feel free to reach out to me. Like, if you have any questions, happy to help. This was an HR contact. And then the meeting ends and I realize, oh, I have no way of actually getting in touch with you. And then the person who sent me the severance information was a different person than my contact. So it's like, okay, this is going to be weird.
I know people that have called just like the company front desk, like the, when you Google company name,
right,
call that number and then just hope you can be routed to the correct person by like four different phone trees of like, the person answering this phone has to route you to this office, which then has to route you to this department, which then routes you hopefully to the right person. So I don't know. It's not easy.
So then that's been a thing I've been experiencing in my life. And well, obviously there's been a little bit of depression related to it. Still trying to, I'm not internalizing this as like a thing that happened to me, because like, this is a thing a company decided. The company is going in a different direction that no longer requires my position or me, I guess. And I haven't been internalizing any of that, but I had a point as I started going into this, and I kind of lost it and like defending myself and my psyche.
Anyone who comes out of a layoff healthily, I feel like, has that type of mindset of just like, I mean, yeah, nothing that could be done about it. And like, personally, it is literally market forces that are so far above your head that like, to get bogged down by it is not a productive exercise for anyone. Like, doesn't help nothing, you know. A firing, that's sometimes tougher, you know. Like, yeah. If it's like, oh, is this performance related, and even if you know for a fact that it was like a weird revenge type thing and all this stuff, like, it's still gonna fuck with you for sure. But a layoff is literally just, this is so out of anything that you could possibly control, there is no point in dwelling on it.
Although I have realized over the course of this, and informing my parents about this, which was supportive but definitely a weird phone call, I don't think anyone knows what the actual difference is between getting fired or getting laid off.
Oh, really?
There's a huge difference.
Yeah, big difference for sure.
Like, okay, so like, the operation I've been working under is, fired is with cause, laid off is like, this is just a thing that happened, like, regardless of your performance, you were laid off for other reasons. Like,
I mean, you can be fired without cause.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're an at-will employee, like, they can fire you. And the reason is, I don't like you.
Exactly.
They're not going to say that. But like, if they just don't want you around, they can fire you.
Firing for cause is like, you did something illegal, like something that could put the company at risk of like lawsuits and everything like that. Firing without cause is like minor things, including performance. Like, if they think that like, oh, you just weren't hacking it, that's firing without cause, and you can still claim unemployment benefits most of the time, unless the company's gonna like fight it and be like, no, it was like gross negligence that they were doing.
Yeah, if they fire you with cause, it's because they don't want you to get unemployment and like, you did something really bad.
Yeah. And then firing without cause is like, yeah, like more minor things, but you did get fired because of something you did. And then laying off is like, these positions were cut, you were part of this round, like it had really like, so to varying levels to do with like what you have done, but like, in the grand scheme of things, no one would really call it a firing. You would have continued your employment had there not been this outside force or this outside pressure that had been applied.
Because with like getting laid off, one of the metrics they could use could have been, you know, performance related, you know, anybody that had one strike on their record, you know, I don't know what your fucking system is or what anyone's system is. Anyone with one strike is gone. Anyone that's on a performance enhancing plan is gone. You know, or anybody that has, you know, been performing in the bottom like 30% of sales performance or, you know, whatever is gone.
Mm.
You know, or anyone making above a certain salary, but, you know, not at an executive level, like they're eliminated, or, you know, whole departments could be gone, or, you know, whatever. Like, there can be any amount of reasons, most of which are out of your control. But even if it is, like, yeah, the metric we used was a performance related thing, you're still being laid off. Unemployment.
It's kind of like COVID comorbidities, where like weird conservatives tried to be like, they didn't die from COVID, they died of their heart condition.
Yeah, and no, exactly. Like, I saw that.
But they would have continued to live had it not been for the COVID. So like, yeah, sure, you might have. They weren't laid off; they were fired because they, you know, were at the bottom 25% of productivity, and it's just like, no, but they would have continued to be employed had it not been for the round of layoffs. So like, sure, there might be other factors at play, but you got laid off because there's other stuff at, like going on.
Like the weird passive voice news headlines related to man dies of bleeding out after being shot by police.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I remember my point now. So yeah, what I need to be careful of now as somebody who generally tries to be optimistic, I got to be careful of the hoping. Because like...
hey, fucking Bane. From the Dark Knight Rises.
Because, like, you know, there's an optimistic spin on this. There's a look at this of, like, well, wait, with this amount of severance and, like, what's available to me through unemployment and, like, other fiscal considerations that I'm still eligible for, am I about to get paid, like 22 weeks salary over the course of, like, a month? That's... If I get another job of a comparable salary or more, like I'm coming out of this ahead, actually. Hold on. What if...
I mean, sure, but like getting hired is usually a long process.
Right.
Like even if, you know, you apply for somewhere today and you get that job
in the first place.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you get the first job you applied for, you're probably not starting that job, you know, for 6 weeks at the very least.
Yeah, I would say like the absolute fastest would be like a month.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like some advice that I would say, you know, maybe don't do the whole like abandon hope, all ye who enter here. But like when Jade got laid off, you know, she said that was the most productive life or most productive month of her life, because she used that time to like really figure out like the direction she wanted to go. And not saying that like it was the, you know, perfect, or that she's like super glad that like she went with the direction she went instead of any other direction, but like you can take this time and find something else,
right?
Like you don't have to just get the same job but at a different company. You can figure out if you want to like explore a different option, because you don't have your current job holding you back.
What it does is it removes, opportunity costs. Like, so many people get trapped in a cycle of, like, not being fully
happy. I can't
do
that because I'm, you know, like, exactly. I've got good standing where I am. Or, like, I make more money here than I would there.
Like, I have 65 utils right now. What if I go to this other job and I drop down to 40 utils? Like, I can't. But even though, like, I really want 100 utils and 65 is not cutting it. But like, if it gets worse, I'm going to be even more set. Yeah, like it, the layoff removes all that.
Yeah, 40 utils is fine. But also, if you go in a different direction, you might get a whole 80.
Not 100.
No, you're not going to get 100. Acknowledging. No, 100 none of utils. Us are going to get 100.
Right.
100 utils, that's a myth.
Wait, is 100 utils the maximum?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Utils are fucking
made up.
That's the whole thing. There's no way to measure utils. Like, it's not like milliliters where there is a vault in Switzerland or whatever that has the first ever milliliter that we can use as a reference point. That doesn't exist. It's just bullshit. Hey. So yeah, you could say I want a million utils and no one will ever get 40. Like, it just doesn't, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah. You're going to get a whole 22% more utils out of it. Is that a lot? Significant. It's significant,
little...
okay?
I mean, yeah, that's so... why, like, our economics professor that we had said that the U.S. dollar is the best thing we can use to ever measure utils. It's the greatest measurement of happiness in life. And I just wanted to shoot myself.
Yeah, there's totally not studies written about the diminishing returns of more and more wealth as you go on. And what is it, like 150,000 is the mark where there's just no added benefit from more than that? Like,
oof.
Yeah.
But then, and like, what had me bummed out initially was like returning to a job search, which I guess I hadn't significantly engaged with since like fresh out of college. And yeah, I know I'm in a wildly different position now. I get a lot more experience, and just by virtue of I'm 28 instead of 23, and it sucks, but I feel like that opens a lot of doors immediately. And being out in Los Angeles is a lot better for like my sect of profession than Chicago was. Not to diss Chicago, love Chicago.
Go back.
You saying those Chicago fucking hot dog vendors weren't big into anime or alternative entertainment options? Hey, I'm walking here. And also, Stan Jungkook. Like...
But, yeah, no, there's...
None of those things were right. That was New York guy and then a Korean band.
Yes. I said alternative entertainment options, but yes.
Hey, you heard of the Spy X Family, Chief? Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to take the L to a screening of the latest season of Boku Literature Club. I made that one up.
Kinda.
Is it Boku no Boku Literature Club?
Literature Club. Okay.
What's the Boku no Boku? What am I thinking of?
So Boku no Hero Academia is now My Hero Academia.
There you go. That's probably it.
Boku no Piku is soft hentai. You might also be thinking of that. I don't know your browser
you don't know
history
my,
like that, Ryan.
My history. I can't imagine it's that, but you never know, man.
Not gonna put that in the old search history.
Well, then, yeah, so that's where I've been going. Already seeing some promising stuff out there for me specifically with my skill set that, yeah, I have nothing but time to put into to pursue. And then, yeah, I guess, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm reminding myself that, hey, anyone who doesn't want Lucas DeRuyter in their corner, you're making a mistake. I don't care what you're doing. You're telling me that it couldn't be better if Lucas DeRuyter was involved? You're wrong.
In a video game, this is not a threat. This is totally not someone saying they're going to burn down an office building.
Wow. Escalation. Escalation.
In a video game, not a threat.
Yeah. No, that's where I'm at. That's what I've been telling myself lately. Was all of that normal? Because I guess like I asked that during the termination meeting, like, hey, what's normal to feel and react right now? They seem to be taken aback by that question, but I don't know. Am I having a normal one about all this, gang?
How did those other meetings go? Am I like we're looking at the bell curve? Am I like, you know, within one or two standard deviations? Like, right. how are we doing? What's the checking the pulse here? Just gonna take the old oil and see how this is going.
Did I react better than my old immediate boss, who was also affected by this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun question.
To give a scope of the kind of reorg happening.
Sometimes if you catch people off guard, they'd be willing to answer that sort of thing because they're just like, whoa.
And then maybe as a closing note to like, show like, reaffirm how like, I know this isn't a me thing. I think every office has this person who like, oh yeah, we refer to this person as like, this person is the best. Like they are so truly fantastic at their job. Like they are it feels like they are the best person with this job title just like out there. And like whenever you have to interact with them, it's a pleasant one. It's a good time. That person was also impacted. Not me. Like that person isn't me, but that person was also laid off as a part of that.
I'm not that person. Like,
no.
You're not that guy, pal.
No.
You're not that guy.
You are not him.
Not me. And even if I was, that wouldn't have been any kind of protection. She also got
Oof. I mean, was that the first time that that's happened to you? Because I've been worked in corporate America. I'm sure, Andrew, you too. Like, I've had probably at least a dozen of those people end up on the wrong side of something. Because it's just like, oh, yeah, they are genuinely excellent at their job. And yeah, you do get a little bit of survivorship like one guilt. Survivor's guilt, like, whoa, why? Ugh. I feel like I'm good at my job, but like, damn,
they were really them. Good and excellent. They're gone.
Yeah.
Am I next? If it can happen to them, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah. I know. And like, that's helped me reframe like layoffs, because like, I had known that like, oh, this can happen to anybody. And like me surviving because I've survived a couple of rounds of layoffs at Fandom previously. Until this one, it changes from, oh, this can happen to any, this can happen to everybody. Like, it feels like maybe this is an inevitability in kind of everyone's corporate career path in 2023. Like,
it's like cancer. It's like we all have it, and it's just a matter of what, like, when it gets us, you know. Like, if we all live to be 300, eventually all of us would get cancer, right? Like,
it's a number. Eventually this will metastasize,
right? If you could have a corporate career that lasted 100 years, you would get laid off at some point. Like, that's just the reality.
But I feel like the treating it like an inevitability has made it so much more of a problem than it really needs to be, though. Mm-hmm. Because like, I can't tell you how many times like I've sat through a round of layoffs that have missed me, but like gotten people I know, or like gotten people in like departments that are close to mine, and the person who made the decision, who was like, hey guys, I'm the one who ultimately made this decision. And some of it is, you know, like, because somebody has to take the blame when that happens, but like, they were definitely part of it. They're like, hey, I know it sucks. I've been laid off before. I've been at companies where people have been laid off before. It sucks. You know, these things happen. It's like, but you did it. We didn't get struck by lightning. Yeah. You did this thing. Right. You made this decision. This is not just one of those things.
Yeah.
You did it. You committed an act. Like, right.
Someone drove drunk. You. Crossed the center line, struck a car, and that person in the car died.
Like,
my brother got in a car accident. Like, this is,
I get it.
This sucks. I know. It's terrible. Like,
gonna have to like live with it. I mean, not you, because you're dead.
Yeah,
but
you're dead. But like, your loved ones, like, I'm talking to them now and just walking them through. Like, look, I get it. I get it. I'm there. You know, I'm right there with you.
No, the
I really feel for you.
The inevitability of it, or treating it as an inevitability, which it kind of is like, that is both a weird implicit defense of it as you are in the system, but then also the biggest indictment I can give of just how fucked working in late stage capitalism in America is, because you could just lose a job at any time, and that's just a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, not to bring it like to myself, but like, yeah, Lucas, when we heard the news for you, Angel was kind of like, could you get laid off? And I was like, I wanted to be a little bit like, yeah, but like, probably don't think about it. Cause like, whatever, like, it's one of those things that'll be what it'll be. And you can't live your life constantly like worrying about that sort of thing, or you'll just collapse inward on yourself. So like, yeah, you know. It'll be fine if we do. If we don't, it'll be good. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Living within your means, like having money saved in case like you're not able to work for any reason, like whether that's a layoff or you get hit by a bus or whatever. But like, it's, I don't know. It's weird that that's a thing we as a culture have to like brace against, that it's, there's a better, it's like private home ownership shouldn't be a thing, really.
Right.
But like, it's so ingrained in, oh, this is normal, that how do we even begin to go about unraveling and changing that?
Well, and not to bring it back to Jack Welch, I really should have re-listened to these podcasts before. I didn't know it was going to be a completely layoff-centric episode, which I'm glad that it is. But I listened to it while I was doing laps after my surgery for my abdomen. So like, definitely in and out on some parts, but basically, yeah, essentially before Jack Welch and General Electric like went through this revolution of like, oh, we'll cut people just because, layoffs were like, the company is imminently going to die. Like, this is happening because we are genuinely like, we're going to not exist in a few months.
We need to cut costs to keep the lights on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, in order to make sure we make it for a few more months, we're going to start laying people off. That was the general vibe before Jack Welch, and it all like kind of became that. So this is not the way it always was. Like, there's a reason that they used to have company men, and it wasn't always a pejorative. And like,
right.
we used to have pension plans and all this other stuff. It was because people could genuinely work for one company for their entire career and be well compensated for it and not taken advantage of in the slightest and not have to worry about a looming threat of like not having a job one day. Like that, this is kind of a, in the grand scheme of things, new thing for humans, like that your way of life could be interrupted at any moment. Like literally me and Andrew right now could get a message that's just like, hey, we need you to join this meeting, and it's over. Like that's just the reality of the world that we work in. So
yeah, I mean, I could do also, like, that'd be weird.
You get another one.
Really? Yeah, like double
we brought you back, but then cut it. Yeah.
snip snap.
Yeah, like in the same way that you were talking about Angel, like Jade has been really stressed out at different points about me losing my job, because that would completely alter like our standards of living and like what our situation is. And like when, I don't know how you guys do it, but when my company like has rounds of layoffs, everybody gets pulled into meetings and like into virtual meetings. And there is one meeting with one guy on it that says, you guys are not laid off. And at the same time, there's a separate meeting with another guy on it saying, you guys are laid off. It's, if you got invited to this meeting, that means you guys still have a job tomorrow. And if you got invited to this other meeting, you're done.
I feel like that's for like massive departments, like if you work in sales or marketing, you know, like when there's like a literal just like 100+ people and you just need to like sort them out quickly. I've like, in my experience, I think departments are a little bit more intimate and a little bit closer. So I've never heard of anything like that. It's always like I just hear through the grapevine that like this person was affected by a layoff, or there's never an acknowledgement that like you survived. Like there's never an acknowledgement that you were at any sort of risk. And then it's just moving on with your life with the fact that, yeah, like you heard tale, like there was a distant, like fucking barrage of gunshots and you don't really know for sure, like how close you were to them. And whether or not you were like ever in any danger, like it's just reality.
And the immediate aftermath. And this is generally heartwarming. So if anyone's listening to this, thank you for sending this. I got so many messages, emails, what have you, saying, hey, saw your Slack account was deactivated. What the fuck? I've been in both kinds of those layoff announcements. I get the impression that mine was coming in really hot, because that was a one-on-one meeting and there were other people in my department affected. So it's like, well, this could have been a group meeting, but was that just not, no one had time to organize this because coming in hot? Or I don't know. That's me reading the tea leaves a little bit, and I'm not good at that and shouldn't do that.
You know? But yeah. Everyone listen to Behind the Bastards, Jack Welch. He was on like 30 Rock with like cameo appearances because he's Alec Baldwin's character's like muse, you know? And it's more of like a, like, but then he does actually make a cameo on the show. So it's kind of like, you can't lampoon someone and be like, they're bad because this character who's also morally bad likes them. And then have that person come on and still get all the cred, you know, like, so, but yeah, man. Jack Welch, that's kind of who you have to blame for getting laid off in the grand scheme of things. And I know you listen to the podcast sometimes, so maybe give those episodes a shot while you're figuring things out.
The ghost of Jack Welch.
Yeah, he died recently.
Meet me in any parking lot in the greater Los Angeles area. Let's go.
I think he died like right in the middle of COVID. Yeah, March 2020. So like right before COVID hit is when he died. He was he was around for a while.
This is the Doom Slayer in hell holding up the demon guy going, where the fuck is Jack Welch?
Yeah, exactly. And there's even a book about it. There you go. The Man Who Broke Capitalism.
That's a one way of putting it. Yeah, I mean, all the people that are like, they're disruptors, you know, they're innovators, like they're like throwing this whole industry out of whack, and it's just they're doing capitalism even better.
They're doing capitalism harder than anyone really thought people were gonna do capitalism. That's the main flaw, honestly, in capitalism, is the lack of fucking safeguards for psychopaths. Like, if everyone was chill and not a dick, capitalism could work. But like, people aren't chill. People are dicks.
And you hear people talking about different economic and like related social systems at the turn of the last century of like, well, I don't know, this capitalism thing, that, I think that one seems good. That one's like industry and stuff. I mean, other people, socialists out there, I agree. Like, there's an appeal to that. But yeah, let's go all in on this capitalism thing. Like, it is being a disgust thing, and how rapidly it had become normalized in, well, globally, but especially America in the past 100 years is... it's fucking wild when you look at it with some objectivity.
It's why tankies are just fucking so delusional. Like, the true Stalinist capital or communism could work. Like, it just requires the state to not take it. And it's just like, well, hold on. Like, let's talk about this whole, like, it just like, that's sounds like the exact same issue with capitalism, right? Like, it's gonna rely on a couple of fail points, and if those fail points go wrong, which if history is any sort of indicator,
they will,
like, everything's gonna be fucked. Like, all right, maybe we need to look back on it. Like, yeah, if anyone living in this current stage of late stage capitalism, like, came from a world where there was no economic systems at all, they wouldn't be like, no notes, like, two thumbs up for me. Like, yeah, even the most staunch capitalists acknowledge, like, the greed that can be enabled by this type of system and everything like that. So it's like, whether it's you're a capitalist,
it's a feature,
or
not a bug.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the people who, like, proclaim capitalism is this great thing think that that's a problem with, like, the people in capitalism, and the people who are like, nah, this shit's fucked, are the people that are like, no, this is enabled by the system. The inherent flaws to the system are what is allowing this shittiness to happen. And that's why the system needs to be overhauled. Like, that's just the fundamental disconnect there that I don't think will ever be overcome, because same reason with what we're talking about with opportunity costs. Like, no, right now I'm at 65. Like, I don't want to go to 40. Sure, I'd love to be at 100, but, like, it's scary. I might go down a bit. Like, yeah. Mm. Or I'm at 100, and if I go to 95, I'm going to fucking murder someone. Like, I will do anything to stop going to 95. Like,
it does.
I have $100 billion, and if I go down to $5 billion, I will kill everything and everyone. Like, it's over.
I just do not operate like that as a person. Like, you know, I've been having these conversations even before I got laid off, like, or these thought processes of, man, is my life changing all that much if I make like 10K more or 10K less? Not really. Like,
zero.
Yeah.
It changes fucking zero. When people talk about, like, oh, I'm going to jump to this new job to, like, because there's, like, a bit of a pay bump, it's like, what is it? Because, like, unless you hated your job, man, like, that's not a good enough reason.
At a certain, like, level, there is a difference. Like, going from $40,000 a year to $30,000 a year, that will affect your lifestyle.
But that's percentage-wise. Yeah, I think, if we're talking about 10K as, like, maybe 15% pay bump, like...
yeah. Not a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. Then if you're talking about a, like, 30% pay cut, yeah, that's gonna probably make some changes. But no, like, in the grand fucking scheme of things, like, it's really got to be worth it, because I don't know, I think for a lot of us, we don't have kids, you know. Like, we have relatively few responsibilities in comparison to a lot of people.
This is kind of the best time in my life I could have been laid off, if I'm, like, again, trying to be objective about it.
We don't have staff. We don't have upkeep. We don't have maintenance. Like, it is what it is. Most of the time, when you're going out to eat or something like that, you're not thinking about, like, can I afford it? Like, if you're in our positions where we are in our lives. Like,
right.
So therefore, like, those are the day-to-day decisions that would be impacted by like a plus or minus 10,000 type situation. Is like, is it going to put you in the situation where you go to the movie theater and you're like, I shouldn't get the milk duds because that's dumb? Like, that's the way it was always described to me. Like, I don't have Ferrari money. I have movie theater money. Like,
yeah,
I can't just buy a fucking car on a whim. But like, if we go to the movie theater, like, I can get whatever the fuck I want. Like, I'll get that large icy. I'll upgrade to that extra large popcorn to make sure I can get a refill. Like, that's the type of money where like your everyday life is not going to be effective. It's like, those are the different tiers. If you can, sure, if this would put you into the tier where now you can just buy a second home on a whim, your day-to-day life might change. But like, if it's not pulling you out of the current tier of like movie theater money or dropping you out of the tier of movie theater money, your day-to-day is going to be exactly the same. It's going to be identical.
Yeah, but then you go to Oppenheimer and you say, I'm going to get a small popcorn and a small soda, and it's $30.
That's fine. That's fucking fine. Guys, I haven't looked at prices at a grocery store in like 4 years, and I acknowledge that that's privilege, but like, I know that everything in this grocery store I can afford. Like, I will not be affected in the slightest if I accidentally buy a $25 steak instead of a $15 steak. Like, it'll be fine.
I'm checking prices on everything. Jesus, I live bad.
Like, yeah, you're like,
I buy generic everything.
That's so fucked up, dude. You have made it. I don't know exactly what you make, but I know you make enough to not care about that. Like, that's sad, man. You can improve your mental health a lot by not caring about that type of shit.
I used to be so much worse. Like, ask Jade. Like, when I go out to like I used to like say like, I cannot go out and buy food. Like, I can't go out and get dinner more than like once a week. And I would never buy lunch. Like, I would always make lunch at home and like bring it to work. And like, I have evolved past that. But like, yeah, sometimes it's hard to get out of that mindset, because like, when we were in college, I was legitimately broke. I had no money. By the time we graduated, I was not able to pay rent. I had to like call up my parents and say like, I need $500 right now because I cannot pay rent this month.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a very different situation, 100%. And for the first year of my professional life, yeah, I had a strict budget. And like, I had it all planned out in like my Mint app and everything like that. I was like, I got to make sure that I stay like more or less within these. And like, oh, if I go $10 over on my clothing budget, I better like maybe take one less car wash and shit. Like, you know, like trying to like actually make it all work. And then like, yeah, the money starts rolling in. You're a year or two in, and like, you're just noticing that like,
Those problems evaporated very quickly.
My savings is going up. Like, when they talk about like, pay yourself first, you know, like put it into your savings before you start paying for things. I just realized that everything was going to savings. And it was just like, the purse strings get looser and looser. And that's how lifestyle creep also happens. Right. Mm-hmm. But lifestyle creep, I feel like, just comes from like big purchases at the end of the day and not like day to day type decisions for the most part. Like, so yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And at the end of the day, like every week, if you're spending less of your paycheck, then you're spending, or then you're, if you're spending less than your paycheck amount came in, like you're doing great. Mm. Things are good. You know, you're doing better than most of the population at this point. So yeah, no. And speaking from crazy privilege, but
right.
Yeah, no, I would not leave my current position for a 10K pay raise for like some vague promise that things would be better. Like, things are fine. Why would I risk all that for essentially no change?
Like, but at the same time, then like, you like look at an opportunity, you're like, oh, this is going to be a bit of a like a cut. Like, this might be like a $10,000 or $15,000 pay cut, but it seems like things are just going to be way better. Like, this is a much better situation for like making my life better and like making me as a person happier. Like, that's kind of a no brainer, right?
For like big change. Like, if you're like, I'm going to be a forest ranger, I realized that actually I hate the office and I'm going to live outside and that's going to be my new job forever. then yeah, absolutely. Like those types of pay cuts make 100% sense. If you're just going to like move to a new position in the same industry because like you heard rumors that that company's treating their employees better and you're going to take a pay cut for that, like,
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and wager that in a couple of years, you're going to feel the exact same with that position. And then you're going to have taken a pay cut to get to that position and it's going to feel dumb. But like, yeah, if you're making a big move to like a brand new type of situation, sounds like, yeah, absolute no brainer. Like do what you can to make yourself happy, follow your bliss.
You know, this is where we were originally going. We went kind of off the rails. Like what we're saying, Lucas, is if you find an opportunity that looks like it would make you happier than where you were at that last position, it's okay if it's like a complete departure from what you were doing, or maybe even like a pay cut. Like this is the time to explore those options because you don't have as much to lose as you did before in terms of your career standing. Like if you're starting a new career, this is the time to do it.
At 2023, this is how Lucas gets into porn. Here we go.
Wasn't where I was going.
Yeah, just like follow your bliss, Lucas. Not that bliss. Live, laugh, love.
And like, I guess
to go to India and discover yourself.
Well, I listen, man. I'm about to unintentionally do a live, laugh, love to Mexico because that was a vacation that was planned and
already booked.
And it would be more.
I might just stay there in this small seaside town.
Yeah.
Zihuatanejo.
Zihuatanejo. Hello, we're to the same place.
I totally understand where others are coming from, and I am definitely like reassessing, like, where else would I want to go? What would I want to do? What are my skill sets, and how do they fit more broadly within the workforce? But like, I don't know. The toughest thing about all this is that like I actually liked my job, and I felt that I was good at it. So it's like, wow. I don't know if I was going to be here forever, but. Would have at least been cool to have left on my own terms because something better came up. Yeah.
And that's why no one should have any loyalty. Like,
right.
Same thing with the NFL. Like when a player like signs somewhere else in free agency and the fans of the old team are like, oh, they betrayed us. It's just like people get fucking cut at a moment's notice. They just don't have a job. You cannot expect any loyalty with the fucking corporate world because yeah, guess what? Like it cuts both ways. If they're not going to be loyal to the employees, why would the employees be loyal to the company? Like it doesn't work that way. It's no one should be hated for it. It's just the world we live in. So yeah. And I mean, look, you ended up in Los Angeles because why not? Because it was COVID and you just made a jump. Like there's a great opportunity somewhere else. Like,
that's, and like for the current industry I'm in, like living in LA has been better than living in Chicago or anywhere else. Is it maybe not great on the financial end than living anywhere else in the world? Kind of, but
yeah,
so much more opportunity.
And I'm not telling you to move because I know it sounds like you do like it out there. But like if you find something in a different part of the country that you think would work better for you, like no reason not to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's a remote job, then
fucking do whatever you want. Yeah.
Then you can really follow that bliss.
I feel like with the advent of social media, the kind of guy who's like, oh, I travel a lot for work and I got two families in the major cities I visit most often. I don't think I can be one of those guys anymore, but hey, the option's open to me.
You would have been that guy.
You would have been a two family guy.
Yeah. I would have tried it out, you know? Well, am I this guy? I don't know.
Fandom
probably
has
not
stopped a monster.
You're not talking about having a house in the burbs and an apartment in the city because, you know, sometimes you work late and then that's where you bring your mistress.
Yeah.
You're talking about having two wives or husbands and multiple children with each that do not know about the other group.
Yeah. You just take week-long business trips every other week to go to this other city. Yeah. No, it's great.
Bye, family A. I'll see you in a week.
Yeah.
I'll have to visit family B.
Yeah.
We didn't know this. And again, this is all in a video game because of disparagement, but fandom has a Minority Report-esque situation. And they saw what you were going to become, Lucas. And this was to prevent that. They
knew you would have become too big. You would have taken over, and they couldn't take that.
I couldn't stand for it.
No. Ah, well. But hey, Spite, hell of a motivator. We'll see if I get there anyway. Or it really expedited is. Even.
I have a story about that after the pod. Get ready.
There are a couple of news items on here. I was out of it. I did not add them. The one that seems most immediately interesting to me, I forgot there was a Fallout show happening.
Yeah. With Christopher Nolan's brother?
Yeah.
Jonathan Nolan?
No one will ever let me live that one down. So I just embrace it.
I mean, that's... I trust that Jonathan Nolan gets what makes Fallout interesting, even if maybe the most recent video games haven't. Do we think this will be good?
I think it's got a lot of potential, 100%. Yeah. I think that there's a lot more source material than Westworld, so hopefully it doesn't go completely off the goddamn rails like it used to. But yeah, no, like it's a great universe. Like the games like varied from excellent storytelling to mediocre to like storytelling. So because like
there was so much going on in each game that there was room. Put they that could in just the hands, take the best parts of it.
Yeah, put that in the hands of people who can actually sift and winnow away the wheat from the chaff. Like it's not like The Last of Us, where it's an actual like adaptation. It's just this is in the universe. There's a lot of stories already pre-built. We already know a lot of the lore. Now we can explore that lore in a new medium. Like it'll be cool, I think.
Judging on the teaser that was released, I think like part of it is taking place in the past, like before and during the actual like nuclear bombing, like in the war and stuff like that. And then the other part of it is taking place in the post-apocalyptic times.
Yeah. I mean, that was some of my favorite parts of The Last of Us was the impending dread that caused by the flashbacks. The Jakarta flashback. The Jakarta one was fucked, man. And we obviously rewatched it because Angel is from Jakarta and everything like that. But like, that's fucking cinema right there. Like the flashbacks were perfect set pieces. And I'm really like the first three episodes all had them. And we kind of thought maybe every episode will get its own little vignette of like,
and they stopped and they just stopped
doing it. And then, the show kind of started to take a downturn when those stopped.
Those first three episodes. Goddamn. But
exactly.
I want to say the like fourth and fifth episodes did have flashbacks, but they were like 3 days earlier kind of flashbacks with like the riots in Kansas City.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which didn't hit as hard.
Right. There weren't pre-apocalyptic flashbacks after the first three, because the first one was Joel and Sarah's story. And then the second one was that Jakarta? The second one?
Yeah.
And then the third one was the rounding up.
The first episode
Nazis.
Was the like the Carson show kind of thing with the interview with the like virologist guy talking about mushroom infection and how that'd be really bad.
Yeah.
From like the 60s.
And then we got Joel and Sarah's story, which is also pre-apocalyptic and everything like that. And then we get the Jakarta thing, and they actually confirm like a long-running fan theory as to where the outbreak began, and then we get the Nick Offerman not today
goes
Nazis
to Lowe's,
which is pretty fucking amazing. Like all three of them just very different vignettes of very different styles of people, it was really good. And so like that would be really cool to explore even deeper in like a pre-apocalypse post-apocalypse type context. I would hope that it would still focus on post-apocalypse, but I understand how they need to set up the canon a little bit because the Fallout universe is a little wonky.
Why does it look like the 50s but it takes place 200 years from now? And
it's the nuke punk or whatever, right? Like what do they call it? It's not steampunk, obviously, but like nuclear energy. There was a nuclear...
The atomic age,
technology explosion that did, instead of microchip technology explosion,
But also done satirically? Like, you're not supposed to want to live in, like, 1950s, but 100 years in the future. Yeah.
No, 100%.
Yeah. They're like, culture didn't change that entire time. I think that was part of it. Like, culture and, like, style and fashion and music stayed exactly the same for, like, 100 years in that universe. And then the nuclear apocalypse happened.
Nope. So yeah, they have to definitely do a little bit of heavier lifting there, whereas Last of Us is pretty explicitly set in our world, like the exact same as our world, just then
this
the
world,
come.
Our world.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan brother. Ugh. Christopher Nolan's brother. Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think that they care enough about the source material, like in a similar way to Craig Mazin with Last of Us. And there isn't the like looming threat of Last of Us 2 coming to potentially make it much more challenging on the creator. Like, people have their qualms with Fallout 4, but a lot of it's like gameplay and mechanics, and like the story is still every bit as good as the rest of the stories that Fallout tells. So yeah, there's no like looming threat of like, ooh, but then it's going to get weird. So they get to just tell a story for a beloved franchise that they enjoy. And like, honestly, there's no natural end like to the Fallout stories that they can tell. Like, they've got just open road. They could do like a True Detective or a Fargo style, like every season is its own anthology. Like, we're going to tell a new story every season and it would totally work. So,
and I arguably, like, Fallout as a premise, as a concept, is more suited to TV because it takes Bethesda like a decade to make a new one of these, and maybe it'll be good, but maybe not. But like, it does beg a lot of, all right, well, there's a lot of short to medium length story potential in this premise, which can be told over like short form television ad infinitum.
Yeah. I want to see if they go for VATS.
Ooh.
If VATS is going to be canon or not. Because, again, we talked about this with Baldur's Gate. Like, the debate over whether or not the, like, waypoint traveling is canon centers wholly on, like, that one time that you pull Gale out of a portal. That is the only time that characters interact with the waypoint traveling. So then they're like, that makes it canon. And then other people are like, no, that's them breaking the fourth wall and acknowledging the fast travel. And like, Gale's a wizard and it's a portal that just happened to be at a waypoint. Like, all this type of debate that's been set off. Now I want to see, like, VATS, is that canon? Like, or is that just a video game that then they've kind of like broken the fourth wall to introduce, because their targeting is so shitty and like the shooter element of Fallout isn't good enough to function.
But what if that's like the impetus of like the, they're just a normal everyday teenager, but they come across this Pip-Boy and it gives them crazy powers and they're the chosen one.
Suck.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I want VATS in this universe, because that would just be like, they've got the Pip-Boy, use the bullet time function or whatever.
But is that canon? Again, is that canon to the Fallout universe that VATS is like a neurological implant from your Pip-Boy?
I don't know if VATS is supposed to look like it does in the game to the characters in that world, but I think it is supposed to be like something that helps them like designate targets or, you know, some shit.
Or that's from the Pip-Boy, or from,
I think,
like,
so,
the video
yeah.
game world?
I think
that's
it's from
the
debate, Pip-Boy.
Right.
I think
for my money, I think they're going to tweak it, make VATS a power armor thing, and then it's going to be like a RoboCop style. You got a 20% chance of making this shot, so you should take this one of like 80% chance.
It makes way more sense in power armor, right? Like, you literally have a heads-up
in
display
interface
in power armor. Like, it doesn't exist for VATS.
They've got a Jarvis.
Exactly. Like, that would make a lot more sense. But, like, I feel like you're not going to be able to break out power armor in episode one, right? Like, that would be kind of a, unless they do it as, like, a tease, unless they do it as, like, a, there's a fucking ranger way off in the distance with power armor on, and it's like, oh shit, it's coming. Like, I don't know.
I would guess that if I had to put money on it, I would guess that it will not feature in the show.
Vats or okay, power. I was Vats. Like, they're not going to include power armor.
Then no, power armor.
Power armor is in the trailer. Justice. I think. Like, I think it's on like the poster. Like,
Pip Boy's in the trailer.
You.
So if you're going to make that, or I don't know, man.
Power armor is going to be an Ex Machina. Power armor is going to be a how do we get out of this situation?
Power armor is an Ex Machina armor. In the game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it really is.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had a pivot to talking about our Baldur's Gate campaign. Do we want to do that, or do we want to talk about Jon Stewart doing another mic drop?
I'm good with whatever. I mean, yeah, we can just touch on it briefly, but yeah, Jon Stewart kind of out of nowhere. Apple canceled it. Jon Stewart left, you know, like it's all, you're fired. Yeah, I'm not fired. I quit. Like, just, it sounds like, yeah, Apple and Jon Stewart had a very abrupt discussion about AI and China and how he was going to treat it. And Apple was not comfortable with how he was going to treat it. And that was that, because Jon Stewart's not, he's not listening to networks anymore. Yeah. Like, he is going to say whatever he wants to say. And if the network has a problem with it, they can cancel the show. And then Apple canceled the show. So there you go. That was that.
For unrelated reasons, I canceled my Apple TV subscription. This is going to look very weird to some Apple data analyst who's like, wait, oh God, look at these people leaving because of the Jon Stewart stuff. No, I just got laid off, man, and can't justify anymore.
Did you ever watch The Problem?
Not really, no.
Okay, so then no, they wouldn't connect it. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's how good the data is, man. They would know.
They know who's watching what and who and when those people are leaving. Why?
They know every second that you are watching the show. They know your tune out points for each individual episode. They know when you paused. They know what show you went from the previous. Like, they know everything. Every little bit of information that you are providing them while you are on their platform, it is being filed away and collected. And it's one of the main like pushes from that one documentary that's talking about all the data that's being collected on us is like, that's a real bad thing. Like, that's to have that unfettered level of data on each individual person. That sucks. Like, they need to be taxed on that. Like, it's endless profit, essentially. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
but bye Jon Stewart.
We are seeing another couple years probably.
Yeah, who knows.
I do know that we're gonna have a hell of a time getting out of this goblin camp in Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah,
been pretty easy so far, I guess. I don't know how you guys fared after I left.
As soon as you left, like, a bunch of us went down because just the series of really bad rolls in either direction. We did clear the room. Lucas was the last man standing, and then like finished that encounter and got us up. But we're hurting.
But now we took out
to camp. Yeah,
we can't with Halsin. I don't know if we can. The thing.
Can't we say wait here?
Oh, maybe.
I don't think he's like officially a companion yet. I don't think we can tell him to stay. And then,
well, I need a long rest because I have no spell slots and I'm our healer. So we're fucked if we can't go back to camp. I think we can probably dismiss him. I remember there were two options.
Right.
And one was like, hey, how are you doing? And one was like, wait here. So
okay.
I imagine we'll be able to dismiss him to one level or another. Even if we can't finish the fight with Halsin, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll make it. But yeah.
We'll make it. But no, yeah, we got a couple of interesting ones coming up. Taking out that goblin priestess is a lot more difficult when you can't sequester her off and then just start doing that scene from Office Space where three dudes start kicking her in an empty field.
We might still. I don't know if everyone's aggroed yet. We haven't ventured out of that little Minthara corner yet.
Yeah,
who knows, maybe they haven't heard tale yet.
We can
We can still be like, hey, princess, I want to go get the mark. And then follow me to this weird room. Shut the door.
Those war drums, very motivating. Do not carry very far, though.
Never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just full Captain America. Like, all right. So should we do this? That'll be good.
We should. We will have to. Yeah.
No, I'm excited for the rest of our campaign. We really did a weird order to go straight to the goblin camp and immediately start fighting them. I was like, I need to go to the goblin camp to get some of this loot because then I can make my character stronger for other random encounters we have. And then y'all are like, I want to kill this guy. And then that was that.
Lucas he got told whipped me and he didn't even get a reach around and it just wasn't polite. So we had to kill him.
He said he could whip the tadpole out of my eye. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, you know what? That makes as much sense as anything else. What, this goblin priestess is going to use weird magic to get it out? This hot bear man is going to be like, yeah, no, I can talk to animals. I can just talk it out of you. This weird interdimensional lizard lady is like, no, yeah, my dudes, we got this covered. Come on, hang with us, and like we'll take care of it. No less convincing than anyone else. This weird sadomasochist dude was.
Yeah, I was gonna say you. I remember when you started the whipping, and you were like, "Oh, this guy's a masochist." And it became pretty clear he might be more of a sadist. That was pretty great. But no, then that's not canon because we had to reload because y'all was wiped.
Well, but then the whole thing was, is we rescued Halzin and he said, like, if I leave, I'm not going to be able to contain my bear form. I'm going to go sicko mode and kill all the goblins. So if we wanted to hang out with them, we would have to kill everybody. And we said, that sounds fine by us.
Mm. Yeah. Let's hang out with you.
Yeah.
And kill all of them.
My guy's a vengeful paladin. Borg is an oath of vengeance paladin. So he sees goblins doing evil shit and he just gets filled with rage and has to rip and tear.
In my personal playthrough, I cannot get into the character of Will whatsoever. Because he is a warlock. That comes to bite him in the ass in some pretty significant ways. But then the way he keeps himself, the way he presents himself, everything he does, just straight up paladin. And it's like...
I thought he was a paladin.
Yeah, I thought he was a paladin too.
Nope. Warlock.
No.
You would think like, hey man, everything you're going for here seems like paladin would be better for what you got going on. And his choice to instead be warlock is like, well, you're kind of bringing some of this on yourself then, man.
Who's the paladin then in the origin characters?
I don't think there is one.
You got to make your own paladin if you want to be that.
And also my playthrough, my personal character is a warlock. So it's like, well, I'm not going in with two warlocks. That's not fun.
That doesn't work.
No. I mean, it might work, but I don't want to engage with that. It's a lot of doubling up.
You got four members. Yeah. I think there's a lot of doubling up in these campaigns nowadays. When you're solo, you can do whatever you want. In our playthrough with Jason and Ian, like all the companion quests are just at the very beginning because we can't interact with them because we have every slot filled. Like they're just all camp bodies. Like none of them can ever come with us. So that's that. So the having a rotating fourth member, like a la Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where I'll be Wayne Brady. One of you guys can be Ryan Stiles and Colin Mockery. But then, yeah, we have a rotating fourth cast member who can come on various adventures whenever we see fit.
Very fair. And usually it's, I don't know, usually it's someone with ranged damage. Because we're pretty good about fucking people up close and personal and healing.
We're pretty good about hand-to-hand combat. Oh, and healing. Like and that heal. Too, I guess.
And staying alive. Getting kills. Frank Sinatra's getting kills.
Yeah, he kind of is. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
You've fired the last shot on a lot of people.
Wow.
No, that's I'm not saying that like you're not useful or anything like that. I'm just saying he's not dealing out the most damage.
Wow. Full kill thief argument. You're like, that one belongs to me.
Experience doesn't work like that in this game. We're fine.
Yeah, no, it's all chill.
Yeah.
It's chill. Borg doesn't care. Borg's cool with it. Borg doesn't secretly resent you. Borg doesn't have a dartboard with your face on it.
You're keeping me from fulfilling my oath. I'm supposed to kill as much evil as I can.
But in a vengeful way, not evil vengeance.
You threw off my groove.
What are you guys checking out?
I finished season 2 of Foundation on Apple TV Plus. So I guess you won't be checking it out.
No.
Season 2, I think, is a lot better than season 1. Season 1 was really interesting, but like moved kind of slowly, which was weird for a show that like the first season moved along like 60 years. It covered a lot of time, but still moved really slowly. Season 2 takes place within like one period of time, and I think it like covered a lot more ground and a lot more plot happened. And it's weird that the characters that have stayed along this entire timeline through science fiction-y bullshit on different levels, that storyline is boring as hell, and I don't really care about it, and those characters kind of stink. But like the rest of what's happening is like really cool and like really interesting. And I think the fact that they can get so much out of such a short amount of time with like a set of characters like is really cool, that we can meet characters in episode 3 that will die at the end of the season one way or another, because season 3 will probably take place 100 years later, because that's what happened in season 1. Like that's cool. Like every single character other than the 3 that like carry along this whole storyline from season 1 is dead. Like every single one of them, because it takes place 150 years later. Like none of them are still around, but like what they did still mattered.
Oh.
And the new characters that we're introduced to are really cool and like interesting and like I really well performed and written. And I like that a lot. Except for one guy who is like literally 150 years old, which is never explained, because the human lifespan is still the same, even though this is probably like 50,000 years in the future. But there is one guy who's like 130 years old or something, and people are like, he's crazy old. This is weird.
It goes to the whole like the first person to live to be 200 is probably alive right now. Like that's.
Right here, that's Chief. A thing.
Lucas is that man.
That's literally hell of a motivator.
That's literally the Parks and Recreation line, because it's delivered by the health freak of the show. And he's just like, the first person to live to be 150 years old is alive right now. I intend to be that man. Just like, yeah. No, that's not one of us, but like, you know. Someone was probably born 10 years ago that will just be that one.
I'll fuck up that kid. Fuck you, kid.
Why not?
Hate you because I'll never get to live to see eternity like you.
10 years ago. You could be 18 right now. Fuck him up. Wait, no, I did that math wrong. Ryan, what are you checking out?
I don't know, not that much. Like playing Baldur's Gate, going through Minecraft, watching my Survivor, Amazing Race, Big Brother, got the triumvirate going on right now. It's been good stuff. Survivor's had a couple of people quit.
Oh.
Not great.
Not great for Survivor or not great TV?
All the above.
Oh.
Not great like for quit like the, on the show or like
yeah.
Okay.
On the show, they just give up and say, hey, vote me out. Just
damn.
Yeah.
Wait, they still have to be voted out? They can't just like...
No, if it was like in the middle of like everything and they just went like, I'm done. Like the show couldn't be like, no, you can't quit yet until you're voted. Like, but no, it's been happening at Tribal Council when they're all like talking about it, both people were just like, well, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. Write my name down. I'm going home.
Is there any chance this is a part of a Golden Balls-esque? All right, so this dude promised me to give me half the money if I'm eliminated now. So I'm going to... Any chance?
Both of the people were like kind of on the outs. They didn't seem particularly like threats or strong, or they just went like, oh, vote me out.
Oh, so they're just like, yeah, I'm not posting a W on this one. I want to go home. I want to go back to showers and electricity.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
The first one was just like they were debating between her and this other guy who was like terrible at the game, and then this other girl who was like really rude. And she was just like they were all debating and talking back and forth and like trading shots and barbs and like doing a regular tribal. And then she just went like, I don't think you guys understand. She's like, every bone in my body is telling me I can't go back to that camp. Like, it's over. Like, I don't know how to be more clear about this. Like, write my name down tonight. I need to go.
Listen. One, either me, either just me is leaving right now, or two people are quitting the show this week. Two people are no longer going to be on.
Wouldn't you
show.
Take that, though? You can get written, like, kill two birds in one stone, be like, we're going to vote for this other guy. You can fucking leave, too. That's
great. If they're
great.
Still in the team phase, then they're like, oh, we're two men down competing going forward.
Yeah, but the challenge is always adjust based on how many people to make sure the advantage is still the same.
Mm.
So... Yeah, no, like it's a way you could do it, but like all these shows have like social contracts in place that are all like not talked about, you know, like they're unspoken social contracts. And so, yeah, like I imagine that's part of that. And that's why it happened twice, is because now that's in the social contract that you can just,
that's a thing you can do,
ask people to vote you out because you're miserable. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the second guy was just like, I miss my husband. Aww. I was raised Mormon and was trying to be a straight man for a long time. And now I miss my husband and he's the most important thing to me. So vote me out. And it was like, the show lasts like 2 weeks, man. Like,
what?
Literally, you're on the island for like 23 days nowadays in post COVID, like 3 weeks. Like, and he was on day 9. So it was literally 2 more weeks. It's like, nah, you don't get that one. That doesn't work. That's not enough.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. Huh. Oh, well.
Trying to see what old Lucas is doing.
Doing some stop motion claymation.
Dude, I'm doing really well on this claymation sesh. Like, yeah. Oh my God. You won't believe it. Well, I'm fighting getting there eventually, you know? And I can already feel the creep coming up a little bit. Like, it's... I feel like during COVID, during hard COVID times, we're all kind of like, really the barrier on when you feel like you should get out of pajamas and into like actual clothes for a day.
I never got past that. I'm wearing sweatpants right now.
That's kind of a membrane. I've noticed unless I got like something going on early, I'm wearing those maybe a little longer than I would normally. So going to try to correct that before it becomes habit. But yeah, still watching anime, even though I'm no longer obligated to do so. New Super Mario Bros. Wonder, not very far into it, seems delightful. Anyone who's like, oh, this talking flower is a piece of shit and I wish it would die. What happened to you? Just have a little bit of fun in your life, maybe. Just a little bit. Yeah, made Act 2 in Baldur's Gate. Can't wait for us to get to Act 2 in Baldur's Gate, because there is a situation that is challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, do you guys... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, we like got to Act 2 in our other campaign like not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a scary time.
Yeah.
So going back, do you guys not have house clothes and like... just like leaving the house? Like, I wear athletic shorts and comfy t-shirts pretty much 95% of the time when I'm in the house. And then, yeah, I'm about to leave the house, go on an errand, do whatever, you know, throw on something a little bit more presentable and
yeah,
go. But like, yeah, my everyday life is in my like quote unquote comfortable clothes. I don't really have pajamas. I just sleep in underwear and then wake up and immediately take a shower and put on my comfortable clothes. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's colder here, so I wear sweatpants when I go to bed. Like,
crank up the heat. Shorts are better than sweatpants.
That's so weird. I actually feel like I look better in pants than shorts, but no, I am pajamas, or I am like, this is what I'm wearing today clothes. Huh. Like, this is, yeah. Even though I'm not going out, I'm like, I want to look good for me. Come on.
I look good.
Lucas, look good in everything. We established long before you were laid off that you were built different than the two of us. So
worse, apparently.
Yeah.
Because it is a meritocracy.
It is.
This is meritocracy, and we kept our job longer. It's the same thing as people getting married earlier.
Yeah.
That means you're doing it right.
But if you were really doing your job well, they would have found a different position for you. That's how corporations work in 2023. Yeah, definitely.
100%. Yep, 100%. Is that, that seems like someone might have said that.
No, that's been a dark intrusive thought that I've had.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not true. That's not how it works.
That's just absolutely
kill that thought. Like, okay.
If they laid you off from your position, they assume you're going to be pissed off, and they don't want you to be pissed off at your new position.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 100%.
All right, well, unless we want to start going down the rabbit hole of other dark intrusive thoughts I've had in the past week and change, we should probably wind down.
Remember when Andrew was reading from his COVID journal?
Yeah.
Remember when that was a weekly segment?
Good times. Oh, Andrew's got a thousand yard stare
going on.
The last time that happened was when we did the drunk cast and I blacked out.
Oh!
And Jade told me that I did that, but I don't remember doing it. So I would maybe ask that episode to be deleted because that's something I think about a lot.
You were so coherent. Blackout
I don't
drunk.
Remember anything too insane.
That was like, that was maybe the first time I've blacked out since like freshman year of college.
Oh,
I've never blacked out drinking except, well, no, one time. Yeah. No, like that seems rare. I don't remember you being crazy fucked up.
I think I did a handstand or tried to, I should say, and hurt myself. But
is it blacking out if you don't remember the Uber ride home?
Yeah.
Okay, I blacked out once or twice.
It's twice in the good old days.
Never thrown up in an Uber, though. That I've always waited until I can at least get out of it.
Yeah.
Good old days. Like a year and a half ago. Okay.
There you go.
But, oh, man. Oh, that first fandom Christmas party. Let me tell you. What are they going to do? Thank you all so much for listening to episode 238 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will definitely be titled The One Where Lucas Gets Laid Off. Following through on that promise. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Support us now more than ever on Patreon and join the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Actual links in the description down below to help a collection of great progressive causes. Send us your questions, business opportunities, voluntaryviewing @gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter for updates @V2_podcast. And follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Twitter and Blue Sky. Mostly to just stay in touch with me because, again, lost all of those personal and professional contacts immediately. And yeah, I don't know. I'm open to work. It says so on my LinkedIn. Oh my God, I didn't even talk about how terrible it is that I have to be like on LinkedIn now.
Yeah, I don't envy you.
Ugh.
Haven't you been on LinkedIn? You were talking about how like you would post twice a week or something to up engagement. And we were like, what?
I mean, yeah, that was just sharing work stuff that I had done. Not like, I got to be on LinkedIn now. I got to be keeping an eye out for job apps. I got to be checking the app on my phone, seeing what the notifications are, if they're nonsense, if they're anything beneficial to me. They're pretty much always nonsense. People being nice, people being like, man, so fucked up this happened to you on LinkedIn. I appreciate that, gang. Thank you for that. All right. That's it. Episode 238. Thank you for listening. Bye.